Good evening, everyone. We will continue in our Bible study through the book of Matthew. So now we come to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, we've been there as well, our family has. It's a very interesting town, but a small town. It's up on a hill not too far from Jerusalem, about 5 miles away. And you can go there, even though it might be a little dangerous now. And of course, it's been turned into a tourist trap. And people are told, well, this place over here has special significance, and that place over there has special significance. And a lot of times there's nothing to it. It's just a tourist trap, but people go there and are taken in. But we didn't bother with any of that kind of commercial gobbledygook. But we did enjoy going there, realizing that this is a geographical location of where Jesus was born, and this is the town where Mary gave birth, even though, of course, the buildings are not the same buildings. They're 1,900 years later. The location, and you look out over the horizon, and you see it sitting on a little hill there, and it's 5 miles from Jerusalem. All that is still authentic as far as what the Bible says about this town of Bethlehem. And you'll find that distances in the Middle East and in Jerusalem, they're not great like the distances in Texas. And in this case right here, 5 miles away, Bethlehem is about 5 miles from Jerusalem. But if you had to walk that, that's a pretty good distance. Or take a donkey or a camel. So chapter 2 now, and we'll continue. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so now we have all of this stuff twisted around and tied into the pagan celebration called Christmas. And we know it's pagan, but even the atmosphere that has been built around that pagan festival, even that is not correct. You know, we hear about the three wise men. Why the three wise men? Well, that's probably based on the Trinity. You don't see the Bible saying three wise men. It doesn't say three wise men. It says, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Didn't say how many. Could have been 12. It could have been a lot of them. There could have been a big crowd led by these wise men that came to Jerusalem. Verse 2 saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so you have songs about this and about the star of Bethlehem, etc. What in the world was this star? Well, we know that in biblical symbolism, you have to get it in context. Quite often, angels are symbolically referred to as stars. And that's the case here. This is talking about an angel. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So Herod is getting worried here, and he's trying to find out more, so then he can intervene and continue his grip on power and make sure that this baby that's been born here doesn't start creating problems for him and pulling people away from him. This was also Satan's attempt to destroy Jesus Christ right from the get-go, from the day he was born. So Herod calls in those wise men, and what does he say? He wanted to know when the star appeared. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And that's a big lie. That's not what he had in mind at all. He wanted to kill him and to do away with him, and Satan wanted that to happen. And Herod wanted that to happen so that he would retain his grip on power and the hold on the people that he had. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Well, this is not some star you might see in the sky that moves around and leads people from one point to the other. This is obviously talking about an angel guiding this whole process to draw attention to this special birth and this special little baby, the Savior of mankind. This did not happen in the dead of winter here. All of these things did not happen in the dead of winter. When you get into the area of Jerusalem and Bethlehem in December, you have winter. A lot of times you have snow. And so many different ways completely blow out of the water the idea that Jesus Christ was born on December the 25th. He wasn't. He was born probably around 4 BC and in the autumn, and you can nail that down. So there's so many errors that are completely exposed as sheer folly just by reading what the Bible has to say. And so here you have these wise men, and they want to know how to find him and where he is. And so the star which they saw in the east went before them and guided them till it came and stood over where the young child was, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, I want to stop here just a minute and read a paper from work that was done at Ambassador College regarding these wise men. And as I said, it doesn't say three wise men, just says wise men. Or in the Greek, magi is the proper word and pronunciation. The magi, these wise men. Well, who were they? Where'd they come from? What were they for? Well, here's a paper that was written and a lot of research on these wise men. And so I thought I'd just read that to explain further who these wise men were. Many people believe that the Magi were astrologers. However, God condemns astrology. We know that in Deuteronomy. He does that. Deuteronomy 4 is one place you can go, and other places in Deuteronomy and in Isaiah. Also, there's no reason to believe that pagan astrologers would want to give honor to the son of a god they did not worship. Obviously, then, the Magi were not astrologers, but who were they? The Bible talks of two kinds of Magi or magicians. That's where the word magician came from. Of all the ancient records of Magi, the earliest is found in Jeremiah 39:3. The King James Bible has Rabmag. The word is left untranslated because the translators did not understand its meaning. Rabmag, I think is the way it's pronounced, R-A-B-M-A-G, has been correctly deciphered as chief magi. There were pagan physicians, priests, and learned men in the company of the Babylonians. The best authorities, ancient and modern, all tell us that magi came from mag or mog, meaning priest or great one, from the old Persian language of Pallava. From these Magi descend a long line of evil and perverted priests and sorcerers, from Haman the Agite, Book of Esther, to Bar-Jesus and Elymas, the sorcerer, magician of Acts 13. The other kind of Magi are mentioned in Daniel 2:48. Here we read, "Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler of the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men, Magi of Babylon. One of God's most righteous men was made leader of the Babylonian Magi. Since Daniel remained in this position for a long time, this Bible example proves there was at least one righteous Magus by the name of Daniel, the prophet Daniel. Now, who were the Magi of Matthew 2, and where did they come from? The Old Testament has two expressions for the east. Anything on the east side or eastern is termed what is before, meaning the Near East. Anything far to the east or distant as the rising sun is termed rising of the sun, meaning distant east. So Matthew also uses two Greek expressions for areas east of Palestine. Anything on the east side or eastern is termed what is before. Anything far to the east or distant as the rising sun is termed rising of the sun, meaning distant east. So Matthew also uses two Greek expressions for areas east of Palestine. First, Matthew says the Magi are from the east or eastern parts, Greek ton anatolon, or the distant east. Second, the Magi saw the star in the east, Greek, Te Anatola, west of the Magi, but east from Palestine's viewpoint in the Near East. You can see Upham, star of the wise men. One great empire east of the Euphrates, biblically the distant east, conquered the lands east of the Euphrates area, had Babylon as its capital, and included the areas of Persia, Bactria, etc. It was the Parthian Empire. These wise men were Parthians. It was the Parthian Empire. It ruled the whole area and was the empire of the east, the land of the Magi. The Parthians rose to power around 250 BC in and around the southern shores of the Caspian Sea. That was the very land into which, notice this, that was the very land into which the house of Israel, not Judah, was exiled. The exiles in this land were members of the 10 tribes of Israel. The Parthian Empire included exiles from the lost 10 tribes of Israel, quote unquote, the lost 10 tribes, many of whom remained in the land of their captivity until about AD 226. Certain of the ancient Magi could claim Abraham as their father. See McClintock and Strong's Cyclopedia article Magi. Thus, historical and biblical evidence reveals that the Magi of Matthew 2 were not astrologers whose observations of heavenly bodies led them to the Christ child. That's not what the wise men were. Instead, they were representatives of the tribes of Israel in exile who were led to their king by an angel. In the Bible, stars sometimes symbolize angels. See Job 38:7 and Revelation 1:20 for examples. So I want to take a little time to explain a little more in detail about these wise men, which are completely and totally twisted around to mean the utterly opposite of what they actually are. Historical and biblical evidence reveals that the Magi of Matthew 2 were not astrologers whose observations of heavenly bodies led them to the Christ child. Instead, they were representatives of the tribes of Israel in exile who were led to their king by an angel. That's who they were. And from the Parthian Empire. We don't know how many of them came. Doesn't say three wise men. Could have been 12 wise men. Could have been a whole lot of people came a long distance, creating a lot of stir wherever they went. And when they came into Jerusalem, there was enough of them there to create a tremendous impact that even got the attention of Herod. And so then he called them in and he tried to find out where this baby was born so he could take action against the baby. And Satan, of course, wanted this to happen and tried to stir him to do that in his fiendish hatred for God, hoping to kill Jesus right there at birth. So Herod tried to find out from these people where he was, and he told them, you go find him, you come back and tell me. Notice here in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Verse 2, speaking really of the church. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God to his throne and so on. So there's an example right over here in Revelation 12, verse 4, showing that Satan was behind this whole thing of Herod trying to locate Jesus Christ when he was a little baby and kill him right there, right on the spot. So now let's get back to Matthew chapter 2 after a little background, which I wanted to take time with to explain the truth about the wise men so that we know the truth. Now we know, maybe in a little clearer way, the truth of the matter. So now back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. When these wise men saw the star, which was an angel, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice it doesn't say manger here. It says, when they were come into the house, they had moved him now to a house. After Christ was born, by the time they got there, there could have been 2 or 3 months passed by the time they went from their location where they lived, which was a long way off. I read somewhere, I think it was hundreds of miles, and they had to traverse all that long distance to get to where Jesus Christ was born. Well, by that time, of course, he was no longer a newborn babe. He had probably, by that time, been alive maybe 2-3 months, or certainly several weeks. And the family had moved from the manger, the barn and so on, and moved to a house. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. See, it doesn't say baby now. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, many days after his birth. Now, this pagan celebration called Christmas is a time when everybody gives everybody else gifts. In other words, the gifts are exchanged between people. Well, that's not what happened here. Where did that come from, this pagan custom of, well, let's draw names, or I'll give you gifts if you'll give me gifts, and let's exchange gifts, and you know it creates all kind of problems. Well, I gave you a gift, but you didn't give me a gift. Or I gave you a nice gift, you gave me a paltry gift, and, you know, all kind of feelings like that. That's not what took place here. They didn't come to where Jesus Christ was and promptly began giving one another gifts. No, they gave him gifts. This was a custom fit for a king. In other words, they came there to worship him, and as the customs were, give gifts to the king, give gifts to this young child that they'd come and worship, who was destined to be a king. That's who they gave the gifts to, not to each other. Can you imagine if you visited the leader of some country, some king somewhere, and you got your entourage there in his palace, and he ushered you into his office, and everybody in your party then turned around and started giving one another gifts? No, they would present gifts out of protocol and respect to the leader, to the king, not to each other. And that's the way it happened here. But that's not the way it happens when people observe this pagan holiday called Christmas. And so they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, very expensive gifts, befitting who he was. And they worshiped him because they understood who he was. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and he wanted them to come back and tell him where he was, but God warned them, they were told not to return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, Joseph, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, mocked, a better translation would be that he was perhaps ignored or deceived or misled or whatever. In other words, they didn't do what he said and come back and tell him. They went the other way. They didn't respect him and they didn't obey him. They ignored him. But the translation here, mocked, I don't know that they actually just mocked him, but they disregarded him and ignored him. When he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly wroth. We'll talk about the Herod dynasty sometime. They were some of the most wicked people in all of history. Evil and savage butchers. So anyway, he was extremely angry now. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked at the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof or districts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He wanted to make sure that he made his point here. And just out of a frenzy, savage anger, since they didn't come back and tell him where the baby was, he decided, well, just to make sure that I get that baby, I want all babies 2 years and under killed, and in the process of doing that, we'll get that little baby. But Joseph had already taken Mary and Christ into Egypt by then. Imagine that. Innocent children and had them just savagely murdered. That's the kind of human being he was. It reminds you of some of the things we hear in the news today. And that's the way Satan is. Satan is so vile and savage that he'll use people to do these horrible things, just like he's doing today. Some of the things you're hearing in the news today are not human. Satan is involved. No doubt about that. So he said that all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the districts thereof from 2 years old and under were to be slain according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." Can you imagine the horror that gripped that whole area of Bethlehem and the surrounding districts? Verse 19, "But when Herod was dead, not too long after that, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the place of his father Herod, or instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there." He didn't want to have anything to do with Herod or his dynasty, and for good reason. So he used wisdom and common sense. He wasn't terrified or anything, but he was afraid to go there because he would put his family in danger again, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. So he was warned of God in a dream, and he used wisdom, and he feared going back into that area and felt that what Herod would have done, even though he was dead, the same thing would be done by his son. So he turned aside because of that. He changed his mind, and he went a different direction, turned aside into the parts of Galilee, into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Why was he called a Nazarene? You know, there's a church called the Nazarene Church today. That doesn't mean Christ was a part of that church. That church is not God's true church, and that came along many, many hundreds of years later. He's called a Nazarene because he grew up in the city of Nazareth, like somebody who grows up in Texas is called a Texan, or in the South, a Southern person. He was called a Nazarene because he grew up in the city of Nazareth. We went there as well, and once again, the buildings are not the same ones that were there when Christ and his family lived there, but the location is the same, and you can kind of get a feel of things by standing on a hill and overlooking the city and backing off and looking at it from different angles. It's very, very interesting to do that if you ever have an opportunity to, in the light of what the Bible says. You can go there and open up the Bible and read what it says here in verse 23 and realize you're standing right there in that very same spot. So that's some of the facts that Matthew recorded surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, his begettal, his birth, the flight into Egypt, and now his father and mother bring him back, but they don't go back to Bethlehem. They know they could be in danger if they did that, so they instead detoured and went over to another part of Galilee, to another place in Galilee called Nazareth, and that's where they set up their home and started to have their family and raise their family in a city called Nazareth. And we'll see later as we go along here that it was a very successful family. Joseph was a builder, not just a carpenter, but a builder. And Jesus Christ learned that trade and became a carpenter as well. We can cover some of that at other times in other parts of the Bible. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.